You're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast, hosted by Joe Hunter on the Sound of Life at soundoflife.org.
Her name is Ashley, and her friends had made a pledge to read more books. Interesting. A week later, self-help book caught her eye while shopping in part of a bookstore. Not a bookstore, it was a big store, in a book section of a big store. She's 27. She bought the book called Girl Stop Apologizing and began reading it when she got home. And there was a surprise waiting inside for her. Very simple. She's a college administrator. She was thumbing through the pages. She found a neon pink post-it note along with a $5 bill. Uh-huh. That's interesting. And it had a handwritten message on the pink post-it note. It was one of those big ones. You know, it's a new style. It's about the size of a book. And the note read, and I quote, "I was having a tough day. I thought maybe I could brighten someone else's with this little surprise. Go buy a coffee, a donut, or a face mask. Practice some self-care today." She felt obligated to share the note, so she took a picture, posted it on her Twitter account. "It sort of caught fire," she said. Her tweet has been liked more than 3,000 times and shared around the world. The BBC got wind of the story, and so did others. That's why I got wind of it. People are pledging their own random acts of kindness, including her. It's pretty cool. Paying it forward, a small gift tucked into a book sets off a chain reaction of random acts of kindness. Just a word of encouragement and $5 and says, "Treat yourself to a cup of coffee." Pretty cool idea, huh?
Reaching the heart of the Northeast, the Sound of Life.
So over the weekend, I watched Eric Metaxas, who has a podcast, who I highly recommend. But, you know, it's a video podcast, some beautiful studios there, I think somewhere in the city. I don't know, maybe in Connecticut. But he was interviewing one of the most fascinating people in history. His name is Michael Francis. Boy, does he look good for how old he is and what he's been through. But he grew up in Brooklyn. His father was in the mafia, underboss. And Michael didn't want anything to do with that. Make a long story short, he went and was in medical school at Fordham University. His dad got in trouble. And his dad's friend said, "Michael, you got to help your dad." He said, "I would do anything for my father." So I got out of school and I got in. It was all to help my dad. And he talks all about what that entails, all of that, what he got into, how he got wealthy and stuff. But the thing is, he ended up getting into movie making somehow. And he said, "We're down in Florida, and we had this whole big crew and staff and stuff from California and make this movie." And he said, "This young 20-year-old woman was coming out of the pool, and I looked at her," and he said, "Everything went in slow motion." He said, "It was just like a scene out of the movies." And he said, she just took me right there. So, you know, she wanted nothing to do with me. He said, in his words, she was a very religious person. Her mother was, he was trying to get to know her and all this stuff. But, and he would do anything for her now, because he said, "I just was so in love with this young lady who loved God. And I just kind of wanted to know." But he got that opportunity. Here's what I'm getting at. He got that opportunity when he himself had the opportunity to sit in a jail cell all by himself with a Bible. That's interesting, isn't it? That he studied scriptures. Certain proverbs just jumped out at him. Certain parts of scripture. God was talking to him through the Bible. Quiet time. It was forced on him. But that kind of illustrates sometimes the lengths we should be going to get away, to be by ourselves with God, to be isolated just in God's word, just with our thoughts with God. And I thought, wow, do we just sometimes have to be forced to be able to do that, laid low by illness somehow, or forced to be by ourselves. And actually, it's almost an advantage, if you will, because through that, we get to know God more, just kind of like he did.
The Sound of Life.
We just never noticed the world's largest Uncle Sam statue. right there in the heart of Lake George. It's right, and you probably say, oh, yeah, yeah, we point that out all the time. You got to look for it the next time you go through there, and I know you're going to go through there. Of course, it dates back to the War of 1812. Legend has it that the origins of the name came from the troops' meat supplier, Samuel Wilson. However, other sources contend that the phrase is a play on the initials of the United States, especially since the first illustration of Uncle Sam didn't appear until 1852. Yeah, it's a pretty good idea. I think it's the top hat that makes him the tallest statue. It's pretty amazing. So next time you got something, you go to Lake George for it, look for the statue. Doesn't have a prize in it or anything. It's just great for the kids to look at. It's at one of those old-timey things like we used to do riding in the back of the station wagon with no seatbelts on the quilt that we took from home, and you go look out at things and say, hey, there it is, there it is.
Love your broadcast, love your show, love the station. God bless you guys, and thank you.
The Sound of Life.
Well, I can relate to this because I had a son that was probably in the teen years. This Zach is 13, and he wears size 18. My son only went to size 15. But when you get in those sizes, you just can't walk in any shoe store and get those. And, boy, this young basketball player who's 13 who wears size 18 shoes. I mean, Zach, he said, you know, my mom, we're having a hard time trying to afford them. That's true. You don't find those on the discount rack. It's amazing. But somehow an NBA star heard about him, and this guy had big feet, too, or still does. And wanted to, you know, it kind of related to it. I'm talking about Shaquille O'Neal, or as he's commonly known as Shaq. And he wanted to help out. Shaq, by the way, wears size 22. I'm trying to think of there was a guy coming to North Carolina A&T State University one year where I lived. I was in Greensboro. I think he might have had size 24. But I saw the shoe sitting in the window of the athletic store where everybody went. And it was amazing. It was just absolutely amazing. They had to be specially made. I think he ended up not coming. But I digress. Shaq wears size 22, and he said, you know, my mom couldn't afford the shoes either. I had big feet as a kid. It's kind of reminiscent about what it used to be like for my mom and dad. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to devise a plan to surprise Zach at the shoe store. I guess there's Friedman Shoes in Atlanta. It's known for their carrying big sizes, mainly probably because Shaq goes there. I don't know. But they got him in there and stuff, and he comes in, and then he meets Shaquille O'Neal, says, hey, I'm there to get you some shoes, and let's go shopping and all that. You know, and of course, he's 13, so he's a lot embarrassed, you know, of the activity and stuff. He doesn't know quite. You can kind of tell. It's like, son, you'll be really glad. This is like the best thing that's ever happened to you. So this is really cool. And they went shopping, and Shaq bought him 10 pairs of shoes. Not just sneakers, just 10 pairs of shoes, size 18.
Hey, this is Danny Gokey, and you're listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show.
So Courtney is the one that made the dress. She designed this gown, and she may be designing more of them by the looks of things. Her sister, Michaela, wore the dress and posted it, and I'll share it with you, an Instagram post, and it got out. And since then, her sister has had 50 requests. These are serious requests for a custom-made dress for themselves. Maybe they think they're going to get a real good deal, and I don't know. She obviously knows what she's doing, and she is, quote, flattered by the outpouring of admiration and support. She says she still, I need to finish school before embarking on my career as a top-tier fashion designer. I'm 14 years old. 14-year-old designed a gown for her 18-year-old sister. She wore it. It looks like a prom event. It was a, you know, dress-up event, nevertheless. And it's absolutely and worthy of wearing to something like that. It's really pretty cool. So, boy, Courtney, maybe you're only 14 now, but you've got that talent, so maybe that would be a great thing to get into. We could use more people like you. Maybe 14 is not too young.
A great way to start your day. The Cup of Joe Morning Show. The Sound of Life.
Today is the anniversary of, I would like to thank the Academy, first of all, and my parents. And depending on, you know, who it is, there have been some really pretty iconic speeches and thank you speeches over the years. I just guess I just kind of, you know, you're nominated. So I guess if you win, you've got something you know, was going to happen. Used to be pretty simple. I mean, the very first one was in 1929 at the iconic Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel. Personally, I think you probably should have just stayed there, you know, but 1953, they were televised in the United States and internationally by 1969. Bob Hope used to do a great job. Johnny Carson, I mean, that's what he did for a living. Billy Crystal was well known. This year, a lot of people were saying maybe, you know, we just shouldn't have a host at all. I don't know. Maybe they should just go up there and do the award, come out and do the award. Be fine with me because, I mean, you know, I was going to make a funny and just say, you know, haven't watched it in years, but I know that there are people who do watch it. They're dedicated. They get together in groups. They have snacks, just like a lot of people all around the world watching to see who wins and stuff. But the difference is they actually collectively pray for the people they see on TV.
Waking up with a cup of Joe.
Look, I'm a frequent coffee drinker. I'm part of the club. I have a card.
The Sound of Life.
Talking about Gerald, whose life fell apart. I mean, you just couldn't get any more of a modern-day disaster. Economics destroyed his business, his livelihood. An accident took his son's life. His mother was so overcome by grief, she had a heart attack and died. His wife went into depression. His young daughters were inconsolable, and he could just cry out like the psalmist did, my God, why have you forsaken me? Crying out scripture is great. It's fine. Here's the thing. The only thing that kept Gerald going and will keep you going and me going is the hope that God, who raised Jesus to life, will one day deliver him and his family from their pain to an eternal life of joy. It is coming one day. It was a hope that God would answer his desperate cries for help, talking about Gerald. In his despair, like the psalmist David, he determined to trust God in the midst of his suffering. I'm going to trust you in the midst of suffering. And just like a long list of anybody who's ever been in that situation, why did it happen? What difference does it make? It's there, you're there. Keep trusting God. He held on to the hope that God would deliver and save him. And that hope sustained Gerald. Over the years, whenever he was asked how he was, he would only say, well, I'm trusting God. And that's a pretty good thing to say, isn't it? God honored that trust, giving Gerald the comfort, strength, and courage to keep going through the years. His family slowly recovered from this crisis, and soon Gerald welcomed the birth of his first grandchild. His cry is now a testimony of God's faithfulness. He said, I'm no longer asking why have you forsaken me. God has blessed me. So when it seems there's nothing left, there is still hope. It's a wonderful devotional thought from Leslie Coe. And, you know, whenever you feel abandoned and alone, cling to the hope that God has given you through Christ's resurrection. That is the cornerstone of all of our hope and our faith. That you too, that's what he promised, will be delivered. It may not be. It may be in the home that he has for you in eternity. But it may be here too. But you will be delivered to eternal joy one day.
The Sound of Life.
Here at The Sound of Life, we play a ton of awesome faith-based music. But have you ever wondered about the story behind these songs? Well, here's a glimpse.
Well done, my beloved child.
The story behind the music. The afters. Well done.
I lost my dad to cancer about 14 years ago, and there's been a void in our family ever since. I think about it every time my kids have birthdays. I think about it every time we have new family outings. And this year, too, my sisters got married. I had to walk one of them down the aisle, and I officiated at the other one's wedding. And I just thought the whole time about how much my dad would have loved to be there. My dad loved Jesus, and because of that, he showed his family what it means to live a life in pursuit of Jesus. And me and all my siblings, we love Jesus, and it was a reminder of how important this life is, and the things that we do here really do matter. And someday, when this life is over, we're going to leave behind all the pains of this world, all the suffering, and we're going to go before our Creator, and we're going to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant.
The story behind the music.
The Afters. Well done.
You've been listening to the Cup of Joe Morning Show podcast on the Sound of Life, the Hudson Valley's 100% listener-funded Christian radio station. For more information on upcoming events, contests, to ask for prayer, and to become a member of the Sound of Life family by supporting the station, visit us at soundoflife.org.